97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
No, it's a good bill because the left hates it. And the left hates it because the bill actually empowers families, empowers Americans versus empowering government. It cuts taxes for moms and dads, which is a good thing. It says for hardworking people, we're not going to tax tips. It says if you're an able-bodied adult getting in our welfare system, getting taxpayer money, well, guess what? You're going to have to work now. It says we're going to make sure we have enough resources to keep the border secure that President Trump has accomplished, you know, our border security. And it, in our tax code, builds in school choice, gives parents the choice of where they're going to send their son or daughter to school to get the best education. That is all about empowering people, about empowering families, which is a good thing, and that's why the left doesn't like it.
That is Congressman Jim Jordan talking about the big, beautiful bill, but parts of it have been stripped out. And if you were listening earlier, we had Congressman Eric Burleson on about 7:35, who told us he's a no as it stands right now. We've got Chad Pergam with us right now. He's senior congressional correspondent for Fox News up on Capitol Hill. Chad, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to get you on here because you've forgotten more about what's going on in the Senate and the House than most people even know. And I wondered what's going on with the majority leader up there, Thune, and the parliamentarian.
Well, they're basically having to rewrite the entire bill. Wow. I mean, I shouldn't say the entire bill, but a big chunk of it, because some of these provisions don't match Senate budget rules. The Senate parliamentarian serves as the referee. She is in charge of those things. And you can vote to overrule the parliamentarian, or in this case, you can move to waive the Budget Act, as it's called, but that needs 60 votes, so you're not going to get very far doing that. John Thune yesterday said, yeah, this was a speed bump. He said, we have plan B, we have plan C, let's see what we can do. But, you know, I thought about 24 hours ago that they would have a vote sometime during the calendar day today to actually vote to get on the bill. That's probably not going to happen. It might happen sometime tomorrow, and then they, you know, if you want to go down in the weeds here, I'll just tell everybody.
Yeah.
There's 20 hours of debate, up to 20 hours of debate. They might not use all that. And then they actually start what they call the Votorama, which is where you take roll call vote after roll call vote after roll call vote. Now, in recent Votoramas, they have taken anywhere from 9 hours and change to just under 15 hours. That's consecutive voting. So if I'm talking to you on a Friday morning, they don't have the bill done yet. They have 20 hours of debate before the Votorama. That's going to last between 9 and 14 plus hours. And then you go to final passage. You see how that easily gets us into Monday, if not beyond. Now, Mark Wayne Mullen is a Republican senator from Oklahoma. He told me yesterday, and I spoke with him again this morning, he thought they'd get this done maybe before people go to work on Monday morning. Now, you mentioned Congressman Burleson. We had him on our air yesterday, and he was just like, you mean to tell me we've done all this work in the House, we put this bill together, and they're just going to jam us from the Senate, sight unseen, and we're just supposed to accept that and pass it before Friday, 4th of July, the deadline? That's why he's a no. And guess what? Somebody once told me it's about the math. They can only lose, you know, a handful of votes in the House and still pass it. So that's one no there, potentially. You might have another no from somebody like Thomas Massie. Right. I will say there are some of these Republicans who often, complain and say we're not going to vote yes, and then they vote yes at the end. We'll see.
So how many people are a no that you've talked to so far? Because like you said, Burleson was a yes initially.
Right. Well, I mean, he was somebody who he voted for the bill a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, so, but that was a different bill.
Yeah. True.
The bill has changed. True. I mean, but people can't really, you know, what happens when the president calls them? What happens when the speaker gets on their case and they say, are you really going to be the person on the hook that killed this thing? It's often said that when you get bills of this magnitude, that the details matter. I might amend that a little bit in this case only, that the details don't matter. Of the broad things they agree upon, but there's these other specific things in the bill that are very challenging to deal with, and they might not matter at the end of the day because they say, look, they get a call from the president that says, you got to go in and vote yes. Do they buck the president at that point? Now,
yeah.
The Senate, I can point to a universe of about 11 different senators of all different stripes who might have problems with the bill, ranging from Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, moderate Republicans, to conservatives, somebody like Rand Paul from Kentucky or Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. Ron Johnson said yesterday that he was not going to vote yes to proceed until he saw the whole bill. Now, they can lose a couple of votes there and still do so, but beyond that, you know, you see, this is where there's a lot of happy talk around here, but I'm giving you the reality.
Sure.
It's going to be a challenge to get it done.
I'll bet it is. I'll bet it is. Chad Pergram joining us right now from Capitol Hill, Fox News. And so you're in the halls there all the time. You've been up there for a long time. Do you know Elizabeth McDonough? What do you know about her?
I know her very well, actually. She's always been a straight shooter. There's only so many people who can do this job who know the Senate rules. She's been there for years. There've only been, I'd have to look it up, but there's only like 8 or 9 parliamentarians in the history of the Senate. She's spoken to my class when I taught for Miami University here many times.
Oh, wow.
There are some Republicans who are calling for her to be fired. Guess what? We've heard that before. Guess what? She has worked for both Democrats and Republicans. The Republicans, if they were to, you know, and just because you get rid of the parliamentarian doesn't mean you necessarily get somebody else who's going to rule differently. You know, and so this is where they go in and they literally work the refs. Both sides come in and make their case on different policy provisions and try to persuade her to rule one way or the other. And as I say, you can overrule her by waiving the Budget Act, but you got to get 60 votes to do that. But she's generally very well thought of on both sides of the aisle. But I said this on our air just a little bit ago. Back in the 1980s, there was a parliamentarian by the name of Bob Dove, and they fired him. The Republicans brought him back later. Bob Dole, when he was the majority leader, brought him back. Because, again, you're talking about a really unique universe of about 8 or 9 people on the planet who really understand these rules. It's not like you just go out and get another. There's not, you know, the free agent market is not really hot for this.
Yeah. But what about Trent Lott? Didn't I read that he overruled the parliamentarian one time?
Well, you can do that again with a vote.
It has to be a vote.
If it's a budget vote, I mean, you can make a point of order. And you know what this and you know what they did in the Senate? This is the so-called nuclear option. And both Democrats and Republicans did this. This is why the filibuster has been reduced in recent years. Let's start with Harry Reid, the Democratic leader. Upset that they weren't confirming at a rapid pace some of the judges and other administration nominees, lower tier people. So he got the Senate into a particular posture where the ruling of the parliamentarian, which is this wasn't even controversial, it was that, yes, you need 60 votes to end debate, break a filibuster on this type of nomination. And so they said, so the chair ruled based on the advice of the parliamentarian that it was something else. And then guess what? They voted, and they only need 51 votes to do that, and they changed the filibuster rule for all, you know, cabinet nominees and other judges. And then Mitch McConnell did the same thing in 2017 with Neil Gorsuch for the Supreme Court. So you know, what you could do, though, this is real nuance here. Just because the parliamentarian rules something on the dais, the chair does not necessarily have to say that. You will hear the term of art is the ruling of the chair, not the ruling of the parliamentarian, if you're actually in the Senate session. So you could have a chair ignore a parliamentary ruling, but those parliamentary rulings that McDonough is making right now, those are all off stage. That's what's going to be in or out of the bill. That's not something that's happening in real time as the Senate does debate.
High stakes, Chad. We appreciate your time, my friend. We'll be watching your coverage today. Thank you.
Thank you.